We talk a little Patriots football, and to do that, we welcome in our friend Mike Giardi of Boston Sports Journal. Hello there, Mike.
Rich, been a long time. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are so excited to have you with this brand new gig with Boston Sports Journal. How is it going so far?
You know, it's a big adjustment for me, and just in terms of, like, you know, I haven't been a professional writer for 20-something years. You know, did some dabbling in the writing with some of my jobs I had, but obviously TV first. So there, you know, it's been a little bit of an adjustment, but I think I'm approaching it the same way, and I'm enjoying it. You know, it's Greg's kind of letting me do my thing, and you know, so far so good.
Well, you're one of the best in the business, so it's great to have you back doing what you do so well in whatever fashion it is.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I
want to send along my my condolences too. I was so sad to hear about the loss of your dog Joe. I've got an old girl at home myself, and man, it's never easy to say goodbye to a friend like that.
No, caught us by surprise. Diagnosed with lung cancer 2.5 weeks ago. Not 9.5 years old. So we definitely got robbed of some time, but we're trying to remember that he gave us everything he could give us, and I think we gave him a pretty good life. So I have an assignment now, though, from the kids. The assignment is to go find the next one. So I'm working on that. I'm already working on that, because that's a big hole in the house we got to fill.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we wish you luck with that. Let's talk about the Patriots. An old face back with him. Trey Flowers returning to the fold. Does he have anything left, Mike?
Interesting, right? Because he basically didn't play last year. He got hurt in September, and that was that. And Bill mentioned that today when we talked to him about, like, hey, he's not going to be out here just yet, and we don't know what we have. You know, we know the player that you remember who earned that big contract with Detroit from the work that he did with the Patriots. He was an absolute monster for them, especially those last couple of years. And, you know, he got the payday that he deserved. It didn't work out great for him in Detroit, and injuries were a huge part of that. So, you know, essentially now you're looking at a player that's basically the last 2 years. I mean, didn't play at all last year, but I had injury problems the year before. So, you know, is this, you know, are we seeing a player that's way past his prime and this is who he is now because of the injuries? Or is there, he hasn't played a little football. He's got a little bit more juice in his legs than he would be at this point in his career, and maybe he can give you something. I do know that, like, Dietrich Twives was talking about him today, and just like anybody who covered Trey, and I can stand here with my hand up and say I did, you know, you just know the guy and what a great guy he is and the work that he puts in. Like, he'd be one of those dudes that, like, I think they would have to tell him to stop lifting. You know, like, you've done what you're supposed to do today, and he wanted to keep doing it. So bring some of that professionalism, maybe help, you know, mentor some of the young players.
Hey, is there any concern about Jack Jones because he's, you know, he's had his off-field troubles? Do they feel like they maybe need some extra depth in case something goes wrong there?
I think it's interesting. I think, you know, obviously the league will monitor the situation, and I half wonder if the league will take care of business for him in the sense that, like, hey, he's going to be suspended for X amount of weeks. You know, there's other people that believe, look, that this thing could get drawn on a lot longer than this year, and therefore without any sort of conviction or whatnot, that Jack will be allowed to play. So I think they have to prepare for both. My sense would be, or my feeling would be, that he's going to get suspended for a little bit. But again, with the way the league operates, you can't really say, well, this is how they always do it. No, it seems to change from case to case, even if sometimes those cases are the same. So they leave us guessing sometimes, and you know, we might be in that spot again.
Mike, from your perspective, what's the biggest need right now on the defensive side of things?
That's a good question. I think probably for me, it's been one of my primary focuses here as I watch camp, is just how do you replace Devin McCourty? I mean, and they've all said you can't replace him, right? I mean, there's just between the institutional knowledge, the kind of player that he was, and even as I said, last year, maybe he lost a half a step. But then if you think about it, like, man, no one threw over the top of them. He always gets them in the right place, and he was able to use his brain to maybe make up for some of the lack of speed. Again, still fast, still very fast, just not as fast as he was, you know, 2-3 years prior. And he's someone who lined everybody up. We're not just talking about, like, getting the secondary in place, but the communication with the linebackers, the front line. That you can't replace him in that regard. So, and I think what we're seeing here in camp, at least early, is that they're taking a look at a few different bodies. It could be Kyle Duggar at times. It could be Jalen Mills at times. You know, Marcus Jones at the beginning of camp was playing a little safety, although now he seems to have reverted strictly the corner again, but it's just Jabril Peppers. Like they're giving a lot of different looks, and I don't think they're fixated on one person yet, because I don't know that one person will be able to do it. I think it might be a sort of by committee. Who are we playing? What's the approach? What down is it? Oh, nope, you're in. Nope, you're in. The one good thing I think that the players have all talked about is a fair amount of guys that have been around for a while, whether it be in the league or in this system. And so that helps, I think, with some of the communication, you know, guys feeling a little bit more comfortable being able to tell each other what they're seeing and what they want from each other versus, you know, if we were talking about, you know, obviously Gonzalez is a rookie at corner, but you're kind of on your own island over there. The rest of the guys, they have that communication because they've been together for a little bit.
We're talking with Mike Giardi here on Downtown. I think there's a reasonable confidence that Mac Jones can bounce back this season if he's got enough talent around him, but I guess that is the big question. Is there enough supporting ability there to get it done offensively?
I still think they're woefully short at wide receiver. I think some people have seen the viral video of my comments about the receiving group. I think it's a professional group, right? Like, I think all those guys that we're talking about, the Kendrick Bourne, the Devontae Parker, Juju, obviously. I mean, Juju's their best receiver, but at least to this point. But there's just no one who scares you. There's no one that is a defense. And this is you talked to defensive coordinators last year. You know, as I talked to a lot of people in the offseason, it was just like, Mike, we weren't threatened by any of those guys that they had. Well, so basically all they've done this year is they swapped out, in terms of receiver, they swapped out Jacoby Myers for Juju, right? And they're, you know, Juju's a little bit more physical, maybe a better run after the catch guy, but we're not talking about dramatically changing what they do and who they are. And so I'm still left with a feeling like this league has gotten more and more about those guys outside. The contracts have gone bananas. People are paying for it. And then you're getting crazy production. They don't have that kind of guy. So I think there's going to be more on Bill O'Brien and, to a certain degree, Mac Jones in terms of executing what Bill wants. I think you're going to have the scheme guys open more than you're going to get your, you know, when you watch other teams and say, man, that guy was open by 5 yards because he burned somebody. This is going to be, well, we're going to do it because it's going to be a rub route or a combo route, and we confuse the coverage and this guy pops open. And that works for a while. It worked for Mac his rookie year for a good stretch. And then the final 4 or 5 weeks of that regular season and the postseason, Josh McDaniels didn't have any more tricks up his bag. Those guys weren't beating people one-on-one. Team started to, all right, well, this is the only way they can scheme it up. And Bill might find himself in the same place. I don't know. We'll see as it goes on. I'll keep saying this, too. Tyquan Thornton, they need him. Like, it's been an uneven camp. He hasn't been necessarily on the field a couple days. Like, he missed time in the spring as well. He has speed that very few guys have. They certainly don't have it on the roster. And if he can somehow become a competent route runner with that speed and, you know, obviously managing his health, if he can be on the field, maybe that does open up things a little bit more for the guys underneath.
Now, they had Ezekiel Elliott in for a visit. Right now, who's their best option behind Ramondre Stevenson?
I mean, it looks like it's at this point. Well, you know what? I would say this. I would say Pierre Strong is the guy that has the most flash. You know, he's second year. He's got the, you know, ridiculous speed. I think you saw a couple flashes of it last year. That, to me, would be the guy. But I still think at that position that they might be in the market for someone when all said and done. I mean, we got to look at this as first week of the season happens. If you're not on the roster for the first week, your contract's not guaranteed for the veterans. So that's where, you know, if Ezekiel stays out there a little bit longer, you know, a few more weeks longer, maybe that's an area you go back to if he doesn't sign with someone and say, we could use someone who could be a hammer. And I think, you know, in talking to people, they still feel like he's got a little bit left. Not a ton, but enough. And I just wonder if that might be the smart play for them in a few weeks.
Do they have enough depth at the O-line right now?
No. It's been bad. And obviously, like, they're dealing with a spate of injuries, a variety of them. Michael Nwenu is still on PUP as he recovers from the offseason ankle surgery. I think you can get by in the short term if you had to with one of the younger guards. But a tackle, Riley Reiff pretty much lost the right tackle job. It appeared in about 3 or 4 days of camp. The other guy they signed is a veteran to kind of compete with him. Calvin Anderson is still on the non-football injury list. We don't really know what's going on there. Bill Belichick didn't sound great when he's not giving us insight into it, but he, he didn't make it seem like the return was going to happen anytime soon, so that's a concern. And then, of course, Trent Brown dealing with some kind of injury, but maybe also dissatisfied with the contract, even though yesterday he said he's not a contract dispute. But if you look at it, he's a starting left tackle and generally a pretty good one when he's right. He's making, I think he's got $4 million guaranteed this year. That is a ridiculously low number for any left tackle, let alone a veteran who has, you know, done some things for you over the years.
On the positive side of things, how much of a difference will it make for Mac Jones, but really the whole offense, to have Bill O'Brien there?
I mean, it's huge. You can just see it here, the way they're organized, when you're watching some of the combinations that they're running at the defense. You just see something you didn't see pretty much at all last year. And there's a level of competency that was missing, and that is, you know, instantly going to elevate that group, regardless of whether you're, you know, how I feel about the overall talent level or not, and whether the offensive line is able to get together and stay healthy, that they just should look better just because of that. They have someone who's done it for a while. He's had success. He knows, obviously, having been here before, he knows what Bill wants. I think he's shown an ability when he was the head coach with the Texans to take, you know, in some cases, below average quarterbacks and turn them into competent quarterbacks. Well, I think this quarterback, at the very least, is competent. So does he get him to a higher level than that? I think it most definitely helps. And I think you're looking at, for me, they were so bad offensively last year. Like, what if this team's defense is as good as it was last year, but the offense just gets to be middle of the road? Like, just an average offensive football team. That probably will be enough, depending on how the rest of the division shakes out, to get you, if not in the playoffs, certainly in the hunt until the last week.
Mike, any surprises in camp? Anybody likely to make the roster that you might not have expected?
I thought DeMario Douglas, the rookie wide receiver from Liberty, had a chance because he's a different body type and has a different skill set than the rest of their receivers. But I didn't expect him to be their best receiver in camp. And through 13 practices, he's been their best receiver in camp. Now, do I think that that's going to translate to week one against Philadelphia? No, I could see it being a slower ramp up for him. You know, kind of go with the veterans, continue to work him into the mix. Maybe there's a package here or there for him. But he's a little bit of a dynamo, 5'8". They list him at 192. He's going to get in trouble for telling us this today, but he said he's about 180 pounds, 182 pounds. So that usually doesn't fly well with you. You're not supposed to reveal too much information, so he might get a little slap on the wrist for that. But he's been eye-opening. He's really, really quick. And look, not saying he's Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, but they haven't had that type of guy for the last few years. And he has that sort of short area quickness that is reminiscent of those guys. Now, you know, they all went on to have awesome careers. We have no idea what he's going to do in the coming weeks, months, whatever, but it's been a really good start for him. He's done everything they've asked him to do, and he doesn't seem to be making mistakes. And that is, or if he makes a mistake, he doesn't repeat it. And that is massive for them down there. That's a good way to get yourself in the good graces with the coaches.
Mike Gerardi, Boston Sports Journal with us. Mike, it's so great to talk with you again. We appreciate you checking in with us today, and we look forward to visiting with you throughout the coming season.
Looking forward to it, Rich. Be well.
Thank you so much. Mike Gerardi on Downtown.